Byron.
Christina.
Laura.
Sean.
Jane.
Steven.
Keenan.
Michael.
Marjorie.
Hi, Mark. M-A-R-K.
Jenny.
That's funny, I've known more of me a name Mark than any other name. And I'm constantly trying to be on the mark. That's what I'm working on, you know, so it's like your name is a constant reminder of my purpose. I know that right now we probably have our representative sitting in the seat, and that's okay.
you know, our public persona is our deep look. You know, that has nothing to do with what we really like, the ones we really get to know each other. But since we all know that, why don't we just act like we already know each other anyway?
Right.
You know, say, let's pretend we've been knowing each other for 6 months, been hanging out, we know all the dirt on each other, there is to know, and we're still loving each other and everything is cool. We've already been having a good time, and you'd be amazed at what shift in time will do to a relationship. Like, for instance, if you see a person the way they'll be when they really correct their perception and when they're really loving right now, then you shift time. And it creates an entirely different relationship with that person. So I'm going to see you as if I know you intimately, very powerfully, very freely. Let go of that fear. And we're going to continue with what the Course says. That's what I've been going over. It's in the preface. It says XI, what it's got at the bottom of the page. So I guess it's Roman numeral 11. And I'm going to read the paragraph that is the whole Course in Miracles and it's wrapped up. If you ever want to just have the whole Course in Miracles for somebody, just Xerox this, a copy of this paragraph, and you got the whole course, what it's about. Now read it right quick. Since the world we see merely reflects our own internal frame of reference, the dominant ideas, wishes, and emotions in our minds, projection makes perception. That means we look inside first, decide the kind of world we want to see, then we project that world outside, making it the truth as we see it. We make it true by our interpretations of what it is we're seeing. So if we are using perception to justify our own mistakes, our anger, our impulses to attack, our lack of love in whatever form it may take, we will see a world of evil, destruction, malice, envy, and despair. All this we must learn to forgive, not because we're being good and charitable, but because what we're seeing isn't true. We have distorted the world by our twisted defenses and are therefore seeing what is not there. As we learn to recognize our perceptual errors, we will also learn to look past our perceptual errors or forgive. At the same time, we are forgiving ourselves, looking past our distorted self-concepts to the self that God created in us and as us. Now, the Course in Miracles states that there's a part of us that doesn't want us to hear what I just read so much that even though I read it, it may have been like you didn't even hear what I was saying. I don't know if it happened to anybody. But what I was reading, you might have spaced out. You may have blanked out. You may not have let yourself hear anything that I was saying. And the reason why that's true is because what I just said, it would totally undo the part of you that hurt you. If you were to hear what I just said, it would undo the part of you that keeps you from having the relationships you want. It would undo the part of you that keeps you from loving yourself. It would undo the part of you that's afraid. It would undo the part of you that worries. Everybody got that part. Okay, if we had heard what that said and then acted on what that said, the you that you know yourself to be would cease to exist. And so the you that you think you are defends against any new information that might make you get rid of it. So your old self didn't want you to hear what I just said. Because if you heard it, your old self would disappear. It would dissolve into nothingness. So what was it we just heard? Well, we just heard that everything that you're looking at is a reflection of your dominant ideas. Everything that you are experiencing right now is a reflection of your dominant ideas. Everything you are experiencing right now is a reflection of your dominant ideas, beliefs, emotions, and feelings. Everything that you're feeling right now, everything that you're feeling right now, everything that you are feeling right this moment is a reflection of the dominant ideas, wishes, and emotions that you're feeling inside yourself right now. And you're going to project that feeling, and you're going to project that out on everybody around you. So he says, first we look on the inside, decide what we're going to see or feel, then we project that onto everybody else around us. He says, and that's where the pain comes from. It is the projection of our own fear, our own anger, our own upset onto the world around us. And then we see our own projected fear all around us, looking back at us. Then it said to us that forgiveness then isn't you trying to be good and charitable, and forgiveness is not me trying to overlook what you did to me. Forgiveness is me looking past my own perceptual mistakes to the truth in who you really are. So what does that mean? It means that if the world I see is a reflection of what I believe, and if I'm believing something that doesn't make my world loving, then I need to learn how to look past those ideas that make me miserable so that I can see the love that's really in my world. I've got to learn how to look past the way I'm looking at things if I'm not enjoying nothing about my life. I've got to learn how to stop looking at things that way. I've got to learn how to look past it. And he says, whenever you look past your own perceptual errors, that is forgiveness. And when you look past your own perceptual errors, you can recognize the self that's really you, that love that's really you, that beautiful being that's really you. Because people say, if I'm so loving, if I'm so lovable, why don't I know it? The reason why you don't know it is because of the predominant ideas, wishes, feelings, and emotions, the stuff you think all the time, the stuff you believe. That is why you don't feel good. Hello, hello, did you hear me? Everybody hear me? Everybody hear that? So if I was to say to you, if you don't feel good right now, why don't you feel good right now? Based on what we just heard. You don't have to believe it, but based on what we just heard. It's a perceptual error. Well, what's the perceptual error?
Fear.
I'm looking at things through the eyes of fear. I say it again. However you feel right now, you're feeling that way because of what you're thinking. However you're feeling right now, you're feeling that way because of what you're thinking. However you're feeling right now, you're feeling that way because of what you're telling yourself. Whatever you feel right now, you're feeling that way because of what you feel and think. Whatever you're feeling right now, you're feeling that way not because of the outside situation that you think caused it. It has nothing to do with the outside situation that you think caused the way you feel. The reason why you're feeling the way you feel right now is that's what you're focusing on. And forgiveness is learning how to look past that, learning how to go past those kind of thoughts. He says, to what? To the you that you really are that you don't see, that beautiful self that you are that you don't believe in. It's there, but you can't see it because you're seeing your dominant ideas, wishes, and beliefs. That's what that paragraph just said. Did you hear it a little bit more that time? It's interesting, isn't it? You hear it a little bit more that time. Somebody talk to me, please. Did you hear it any more that time? God damn! Oh, thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Let me get in there. Let me get into you. Talk to me, please, people. It's all right. It's okay. You're okay. You're all right. Everybody's okay. This is what we're dying to hear. This is what we got in our car to come here. This is what we're excited to listen to, right?
Right.
Okay. Share some of that excitement with you. With me, with you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What's the part that's not excited? The part that's not excited is the part that just doesn't want you to hear it, doesn't want you to live this, doesn't want you to respond to it. I know when I'm talking to you and when I'm talking to the not you. It's really easy to tell. So when I'm in the presence of the not you or somebody, I just listen. That's what you do. When you're in the presence of somebody, when they're in fear, anger, guilt, upset, you just as well just listen because they're not listening no way. So that's why you listen. You listen because they don't listen no way when they're upset, angry, and mad. So you can talk if you want to, but nobody's at home to hear your conversation. That's why the truth tells us to listen. First of all, it's easy. You don't have to try to figure out what to say. You don't have to try to be smart. You just have to listen. Then if you let them vent and go ahead and let their not self, let it get off, it'll eventually play out, and then their real self will come back again. They'll say something like, I know, but I know I got to look at it another way. You know, you're going to make it through all that stuff, and they go, oh, well, maybe I do need to give them another chance. You've had to see that a million times. Go ahead, let the not self express. You listen to the not self. What does that mean? You're forgiving them. You're looking past their perceptual errors. You're looking to the self that's crazy right now with anger and fear, right? You're looking past that self to the self you know that's going to show up when that self gets through with its stuff. That is forgiveness. That's forgiveness. It's not overlooking what that person did to you when you was 5 years old. You cannot overlook what you think that person did to you when you were 5 years old. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgiving somebody for what you think they really did to you. Forgiveness is not forgiving somebody for what you think they really did to you. Forgiveness is not forgiving somebody for what you think they really did to you. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is looking past perceptual errors to the truth of how we really were created and who we really are. So every time you spend any time taking the time to learn how loving you are, like you're doing right now, you are forgiving yourself. This is the definition of forgiving yourself. This is forgiving yourself. You're doing it right now. You're sitting in the presence of a strange-looking black dude at noon. That's strange enough right there on a Wednesday. Yeah, that would be pretty sufficient to let you know something's going on kind of spooky that this even happening. Hello. If it is for me. I mean, if it's not for you, it is for me. Okay. I'm in Denver, Colorado. That's a trip for me. And loving it. Absolutely love Denver. Love Denver. But if you ever see me on skis, shoot him. It's a clone. No retired people that took me over, I'm telling you, okay? But I'm a mental skier.
What did you say?
I'm a mental skier.
Oh.
So now that you know, okay, so now you have a pretty good idea of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is looking past your perceptual errors to the truth of the situation. How do I know I have a perceptual error? How do I know if I'm looking at it wrong? I know I'm looking at it wrong if I see anger, impulses to attack, lack of love, evil, destruction, malice, envy, and despair. So I'm pretty much seeing the whole world wrong. Because I see all those things. I see people get angry, sometimes I get angry. I see impulses to attack, sometimes I want to. I see a lack of love, sometimes I see what looks like evil, destruction, malice, envy, and despair. Anybody else?
Yes.
Okay, if that is indeed true, then we are perceptual distortions. And there's another world we don't see. There's another world we don't see. There is another world of perception that we don't see. There's another world that we don't see, and you don't have to die to get there. There's another world that we don't see, but you don't have to die to get there. There's another world, because if we see a world that has anger, malice, despair, guilt, and destruction in it, that means we're looking at a world that love didn't create, because love would never create something like that, which means there must be another world we don't see. Yes. You have your hand up.
I forgot now. I think you answered it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, so let's go to the next paragraph if there are no questions about that. Okay, we heard that paragraph. That's the whole Course in Miracles. The whole Course in Miracles is to teach you how to look past the perceptual distortion so you can get to what you really want. That's the whole purpose of the Course in Miracles. That's it. And he just told you how I was going to do it. But the workbook lessons give you the step-by-step way to apply it every day until you accomplish it. Any questions? Any comments? Wednesday, smaller group. I love talking. Yeah.
What I say is that there's nobody out there but me. I see everything from my own perception.
Mm-hmm.
And if I spot it, I got it.
If you spot it, you got it. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
What I was going to ask, though, is like, if I see people that are angry or mm-hmm. can't see you, mm-hmm. or this or that, that's mm-hmm. my own perception.
Yeah. That's your perception of them. You see them as angry. You could see them as having a deep call for love. So you chose to see it as they angry.
Oh, okay.
You see what I mean? That's not like the only way I could see the way you're expressing yourself. You could be jealous, but I don't have to see it as jealousy. I could see it another way. You see what I mean? It's like we forget that we assign emotions to everything, but there are other ways to look at what appears to be the same expression.
The only real emotion is fear, right?
The only unreal emotion is fear.
Yeah. But love is an experience. It's the
opposite of fear.
Sometimes when I get afraid, I look at the space in between my fingers,
mm-hmm.
and my perception changes like that.
Whatever it takes. That's right. If it works for you, you better put your fingers up many times you need to.
If you look at the space in between your legs there, it's your mind. My mind shifts.
Good.
And I see like love.
I'll talk to you about that later. We need to have a conversation. There's a lot of symbolism in what you just said. You have no idea. That was deep. That was really deep, brother. That's pretty deep. Don't forget you can laugh.
perception changes too when I look between his legs.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. So that's what I'm saying. That's all right. Just since you can look past it to the self that God created as you. The problem is the course calls it arresting your mind. And that's a great way to put it. It says when you stop at the body, you've arrested your mind. I mean, what do you mean? He says, well, when you stop at the body, he says, it's a block to sight because really you're supposed to be able to perceive beyond the body. But what happens with us is we'll stop right on the body. And he says, when you stop on the body, you're not allowing your mind to continue to extend, and so you get sick. And that sickness and anger and upset comes from stopping your perception of each other at the body and then just believing that we're just bodies and losing sight of the awareness that we're spiritual beings, that we're really love unlimited. He said that's why everybody gets sick and angry and afraid. They stop at the body. And then they make the body the goal. And so if you make the body the goal, then you forget what the body is really for. You know, the body is really for helping you realize that you're even more than the body. And when you stop at the body, then you stop your mind. And when you stop your mind, then you get sick. And you create negative situations for yourself. And when I heard that, I didn't like it at all. Because there was a part of me that thought it was somehow asking me to no longer see the body. And the truth was, it's just asking me to realize there's more to see. There's more to see in you than your bodies. That's not putting your body down. That's not saying it wouldn't be nice to have some kind of a contact with your body. But there's more than your body. And the Course says when you forget that, that's when your life starts to have problems. But you assign it to the economy. You don't assign it to you losing sight of your own identity. Okay, so let's go to the next paragraph. Sin is defined as a lack of love. Since love is all there is, sin in the sight of the Holy Spirit is a mistake to be corrected rather than an evil to be punished. Our sense of inadequacy, weakness, and incompletion comes, I love this, our sense of inadequacy, weakness, and incompletion comes from the strong investment in the scarcity principle that governs the whole world of illusions. From that point of view, from the scarcity point of view, we seek in others what we feel is wanting in ourselves. From the scarcity point of view, we seek in others what we feel is wanting in ourselves. We so-called love another in order to get something ourselves. That is, in fact, what passes for love in this dream world. People are giving something so that they can get something for themselves. There can be no greater mistake than just trying to give something just so you can get something for yourself, because love is incapable of asking for anything. Love doesn't ask for anything. Love doesn't ask for anything. That's deep, man. That was another one of those paragraphs that possibly, you know, you would have been tempted to go unconscious on, but that's okay. It says, first of all, lack of love, that's what sin really is. If you want to make up a sin, that's it, when we don't love each other. Then it says, the only thing there is love. So whenever you think that you're not loved, whenever you think you're not safe, whenever you think you're not protected, whenever you think you're not abundant, then that's just a mistake to be corrected. Whenever you think you're alone, whenever you think you're not enough, whenever you think you're not loved, whenever you think you're not enough, whenever you think you're not loved, whenever you think you're not loved, whenever you think you're not loved, that's a mistake that needs to be corrected. It's not a sin that you need to be punished for. And the people, all the people that you know that are miserable in this world, all the people that you know that wear it, that are unhappy and ungrateful, they are just people who believe there's no love in their life. They don't need to be punished because they're that way. They need to be corrected. So everything you do that you think is crappy stuff that you think you might be punished for is really just you acting from believing that you are not loved. Everything you do that's painful or hurtful to yourself or others is a reflection of your belief that you're not loved. Every problem you think you have is a reflection of your belief that you think you're not loved.
So even if you get physically hurt,
yeah,
like run into a rock.
That's right.
Or
that's right.
Drop 20 feet.
Yeah.
Dislocate your knee.
That's right. That's an extreme call. That's an extreme call for love. You really say it. Help me, notice me, help me, notice me. Give me some love. Help me, notice me. Give me some attention. Give me some love. Look at me. Give me some attention. Look at me. I fell 20 feet. Give me some love. It's I want love. I want love. I want attention. 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 I want love. I just shot 20 people. I'm trying to get some attention here. I want some love here. I'm jealous. I don't feel loved. The way you looked at her made me, I made myself not feel loved. Because of the way you looked at her, I made myself feel like I was not enough. It's all a wrong perception that needs to be corrected. And he said, that's where our sense of inadequacy, weakness, and incompletion comes from. So when the person says, I feel inadequate, when the person says, I feel incomplete, what they're really saying is, I feel a lack of love, I feel a lack of love, I feel a lack of love for myself, I feel a lack of love for myself, I feel a lack of love for myself, that's why I'm cussing your butt out. I feel a lack of love for myself, that's why I'm robbing your house. I feel a lack of love for myself, that's why I'm attacking you, cheating you, mad at you, attacking you. I feel a lack of love for myself. I feel a lack of love for myself, so therefore I feel a lack of love for you. Mm-hmm. Everybody clear on that? Is that everybody clear on where every problem you think you have is coming from? Where is it coming from? Just so we can help remember. Where is it? It's coming from a lack of love. It's coming from me believing that there's a lack of love. Even though there's a lot of definitions you could give, if you could try to give the one back that I gave, it would have a very powerful effect. Because there's always just one thing I'm hammering in, you know. And what I'm hammering in is that every time you see any form of pain in the world of any type, from yourself or anybody else, it's just a lack of love. A lack of love, and what you do out of a lack of love may seem cruel and heartless and bad. But the truth is, he's saying love doesn't see it that way. Love sees it as, you think there's a lack of love that needs to be corrected. I don't need to punish you. I need to let you know that there is love, because it's your belief that there's a lack of love that's creating the way that you're behaving. So punishing you for your behavior is not going to correct the basic error. The basic error is you think there's a lack of love. If I beat the hell out of you, you're just going to believe more there's a lack of love, which makes you act even crazier than you were already acting. Because I'm acting crazy because I don't think I'm loved. So you beat me up, I just believe I'm not loved even more, and I act even crazier. So it needs to be corrected instead of punished. Are you saying to me, if somebody murders somebody, they need to be corrected instead of punished? Yes. If somebody murders somebody, they really need to be corrected. They need to be healed. Yes.
Question. I have a 19-year-old daughter who... I don't get along with all that well, mm-hmm. many times.
Mm-hmm.
So if she comes down and yells at me for something, you know, I can say lack of love, but it's then how do you correct that? I mean, do you say lack of love on her part, lack of love on my part? I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you're
but
in that situation, you recognize there's a lack of love existing here.
It's always lack of love for self.
But how do you deal with self?
For self. It's always start with self. Whenever in doubt, there's self.
So I don't say, well, she's feeling a lack of love. There.
That's okay. You could still say, you could say she was feeling a lack of love. What was cool, it doesn't matter whether you're saying she's the one that has a lack of love or you the one that has a lack of love, because y'all the same. So it doesn't make any difference. If you one with me, then if I say it, it applies to you. If you say it, it applies to you and me. See what I'm saying? That's why people don't like the whole oneness thing, because then you can't talk about nobody. You know what they're talking about? You know, you're talking about yourself. What's the fun of it? You know, it's like, let's face it. That's the benefit of separation, is I think I can do something to you and not have to get the results of it. I mean, that's the only benefit, right? If you got a stomach ache, thank God I don't have to feel it. That's great, being separate. I think it's the best plan possible is for us to be separate until we love each other. I don't want to be dealing with somebody that don't love me. So as long as we don't love each other, I'm so glad we can get in our separate cars and go our separate ways and come together when we want to. That is a beautiful plan of God, that you can't even join with somebody until it's love. Because if you're full of fear, you need to be separate. If I'm not going to treat you right, then I need you to get away from me. Thank God for your body. Take it in the car, put your foot on the gas, grab your butt right on out down the street. There you go, my spiritual me. I'll see you later, self, when you know how to treat me better. Then we can go out to dinner. Because if I'm joined with myself, sooner or later we're going to have to heal anyway. You know what I mean? So I'll get around to you when it's easy. In the meantime, I'm going to love who's available for me to love right now. I'm not going to spend all my time trying to make people love me that don't. That's the old plan. That's the stupid plan. Because if you love the people who love you, and then you build your consciousness of love, then you start to heal those areas of your life that it looks like the love isn't located. But you can't heal those parts that the love isn't located until you feel love for yourself. And how are you going to feel love for yourself if you spend all your time with people who don't make you feel love within yourself? And that's what most people do. The people that they really get along with, they don't spend that much time with. And the people they have the hardest time with, that's the one they spend all their time with trying to fix the situation. Reinforcing their idea that there's scarcity of love there. But they just told you, if you say one more thing to me, I'm going to kill you. That's a little hint. And then, at that point, you know there's a scarcity happening. So, when a scarcity happens, you know there could be some anger, some attack could happen. So, that's a reflection of my lack of love for myself. So, I'm going to love myself enough in that moment to ask the Holy Spirit, how should I look at this situation? How can I see this differently? Give me another way to look at it. That's what you do in every situation. You just ask for another way to look at it as soon as you can. You ask, you ask, you ask. The Course said we always make up our mind and then ask. But it says it's just the opposite. We just need to take a second to ask. Just go, how can I look at this? What's the best? And in that moment, you will act from the highest that you can act in that moment. And so, regardless of how you respond at that moment, that's the most you could have done at that moment. So forgive yourself however you respond at that moment, because that's the best you could have done at that moment. It's the way you respond at any given moment. That's the best you can do right now. So give yourself a break. Yeah.
This morning when I understood this stuff,
yeah.
It says in chapter 7,
mm-hmm.
you keep it by giving it away,
mm-hmm.
which is the love.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this feeling that it didn't matter. It didn't matter what was out here so much.
Well, the truth is that now if you felt like you got a revelation out of that, see one of the things I've learned from studying the Course, and the truth is it's not an either or thing. It's not like what I said is right and what you say is wrong, or your perception of it was wrong now because you heard me say something else. When it's the truth, both perceptions are right. It is absolutely the truth that there is nothing out here, and it's absolutely the truth that since you think there is, you need to give it some love. Those are both equally true. You know what I'm saying? If I stood up here with you all and said it didn't look like you all were out there in front of me, then I would just be in denial. I'd just be in self-deception. It looks like you all are sitting in front of me. Does it look like I'm sitting in front of you?
Yes.
Okay, well, since it looks that way, he's saying, well, why don't you just get at some love? Even if it's not there. And in the meantime, if you give yourself some love, and it is a reflection of what's going on inside of you, then you're going to see that love reflected back to you from out here. But if this is also something that I'm making happen, if I love my own creation, I can't lose from that either. In other words, we don't have to figure it out because the only response is love. We only would have to figure this out if there was a different response that was required. Then we would have time to sit back and decide which response to give. But when someone tells you there's only one response that'll work, you no longer have any reason to analyze. Because you analyze it so you can decide how to respond. But if I just told you how to respond, then you don't have to analyze it anymore. You just do it. What do you mean? I need to love what I see, and I need to love what I am. Wow. I need to love what I see, I need to love what I am. Period. Well, what does that mean? It means free it. What? It means free it. It means what? It means free it. What do you mean? Free you, free me. Free you, free me. Free you, free me. Well, what does that mean? Let you live your own life the way you want to live your life. See you as love. Don't attack you. Don't try to hurt you. But see what it is you think you really want. And then see if I can support that, if that's loving. I'm freeing you. I'm not trying to get you to act out my script. I love you. How do you know I love you? Because I'm not stalking you. There's nobody in here that I'm trying to tell you what you can do, how you can do it, who you can do it with, how long you can do it with them, where you can go, what time you got to come back, what you should wear, what you should say. There's not a person in this room that I'm trying to control. So I love you. That's where a person does that love you. They let you be. Now the people that fear you, they got a million rules for you every second of the day, all the time, about how you should behave and what you should do and how you should do. That's why it's so easy to tell when you're with somebody who's afraid of you and somebody who loves you. The more rules there are, the more fear there is, the less rules there are, the more love there is. Period. The ego don't like that. Oh, you gotta have some rules. I'm like, what you doing? Everybody, what you gonna do if you don't have nothing to do? Well, that's why you're in a world full of rules, so you need to obey them. Obey them. Oh, just obey all the rules you want to obey. That's a good thing to do when you believe in them. But there's only one law, the law of love. How in the world would I try to hurt you if I'm loving you? I don't need to be regulated when I only want to love you. I need some regulations when you don't love me. Then I need the law to make sure you treat me right. That's why I wouldn't hesitate to call a lawyer if I needed to, even if I was on a New Age path. It's nothing personal. You believe in rules. You're not acting from love. So, I'm not acting from love. I don't care. Something ain't going right. I'm going to do what's necessary. But with love, with peace, with freedom. That's deep, man. So I'll say it one more time. He said, and once you believe that you are not loved, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to seek in others what you feel is wanting in yourself. All of a sudden, you're going to be looking for everybody to have the qualities that you don't have. You're looking for people with qualities you don't have. When you believe you're lacking, you're always going, I want this beautiful person, this generous person, this giving person, this secure person, this wealthy person, this fun person. And usually the people who tell you that don't exemplify any of those qualities. Have you noticed that? Almost everybody who sees, what do you want? I want the most loyal person in the world, the most fun. And they'll be like the dullest person you ever seen in your life. If they're telling you, they will tell you they want an exciting partner. But they want something that they don't have. The person that's poor wants the rich partner, right? They want something they think they don't have. He says, once you don't love yourself, you operate from the scarcity principle. And the scarcity principle is there's a lack. And so all of a sudden, you're walking around looking for qualities in other people that you don't have. And he says, so then you just love somebody so you can get something from them. Whether it's get the love, get the specialness, get the attention. You just love them so you can get something from them. And the Course says that's the bargain that people who don't love themselves make in all their relationships. So the relationships between two people who don't love themselves is a relationship with both people are trying to get something from each other and are usually upset with each other because they're not getting it. That's your typical relationship of the world.
Marriage.
That's your typical relationship. You can call it marriage. You can call it two people that's in a special relationship with each other.
Marriage.
Did that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say it again. From the principle that you are not loved produces all the problems that you have in your life. The minute you feel you're not loved, you start looking for relationships that will give you what you think you don't have. So all of a sudden, you're trying to hook up with people so you can get something from them. That's what it just said. So as soon as you fall in love with a person who's afraid and who can't take a compliment, you know you're talking to a person who don't love themselves. So you can find out who this is at the very beginning. You just say something really loving and nice to them and see how they respond. If they respond, it couldn't be me. That's not me. Or they respond with suspicion. What you trying to get? I know you're saying it because you're trying to get something. Especially if you're a man. I know you're trying to get something. I know what you want. As soon as you say hello, I know what you're trying to get. You want my nothing. You want my illusion, I know you do. This is the funniest book in the world to me. I swear, I don't know what book other people read, but The Course in Miracles is hilarious to me, boy. I swear, it's so funny because it tells us exactly what we do all the time. He says, but when we hear it, it sounds crazy even to us. But the reason why it didn't sound crazy before was nobody said it back to us. So we never really heard it. So we go, no, I don't think that. Wait a minute, I can't think I do that. Don't I be honest, I do. You know what I'm saying? The Course says, that we got special body parts we like. That is true. That is true, because the Course calls them special body parts. I thought that's so cool, Everybody's got their special body parts they like, right? I like it because of his eyes. He could be a serial killer, but he got blue eyes. So his thing is cool, It's so crazy. Y'all don't see that? Okay. Alright. It's so funny. It's like as you wake up, you see it's hilarious. It's hilarious. So I'm beginning to wake up, and so I want to laugh more, but I can't because people take it personal. So I have to practice looking like everybody else while I'm laughing on the inside. Yeah, I have to look serious. I'm laughing my butt off on the inside. Because they don't want somebody in front of them who's going to make their problem real. They need somebody who will see beyond their problem. And that's how you heal them. So if you join them in the suffering, you're just making their suffering greater. But we call it compassion.
So you're...
Well,
I'm counselor to some different friends, you know, mm-hmm. and so I used to always do all this empathy stuff, and mm-hmm. I just was reading the chapter. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. So what do you do just so... How do you...
No, you listen, because they're not there anyway. We go back to the original premise. They're not there. They're not there. If they're weary and upset and angry for real at an emotional level, they are literally not there, which means they're not hearing anything that you're saying. You can tell that because the more you say something, the more they defend against what you're saying. So what you do is you listen, and you don't believe that they are limited by the situation or circumstance that they think they're limited by. And if you do that, that's true compassion. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and your listening is showing out of compassion, because most people won't even listen, right? So the mere fact that you're there and, you know, what can I do to support you? How can I help you? What can I do? Listen, listen, listen. But in the meanwhile, you're saying to yourself on the inside, this is an incredibly powerful child of God who is supported and loved by God, who is stronger than any situation that they think they're going through right now, if everything's going to be okay. So you're saying that silently, because if you say it verbally, they will just defend against it even more, go more unconscious, and nothing will be solved.
So skip the advice and just say, oh, I see, uh-huh.
Yeah. The what you want to do is don't worry so much about how you should behave. You just want to remember what you should be thinking. So behavior is not the level of healing of the course. The course is not about behavior modification. It's about your remembering the truth in every situation, no matter how you are behaving. See the difference? Because there's no cut and dried rule for how you should react to your friends all the time. You see what I mean? So there is a cut and dried rule in terms of what you should think around your friends all the time. See the difference? So that's why I don't talk about behavior so much in the class, because if you can get to the right mental attitude, it'll dictate the proper behavior in that situation, which may change. You know, sometimes you smack somebody so that if they're strangling, so that they're jarred or whatever it is, loose. So you wouldn't say in every situation you never smack anybody. You might have to smack somebody to revive them. So it's not about behavior ever. It's always, what is the attitude behind the behavior that determines what it means? It's the attitude behind the behavior that determines what it means. Not the behavior. But in the ego world that we live in, it's all about behavior. It's all about appearance. You didn't ask, why did that guy rob the store? Well, he had 5 children at home that he couldn't feed. And he felt desperate. Which is the difference from a guy going, walking down the street, going, I think I'd just like to rob a store and blow you up. Different. Look the same. 2 different motives. So as you wake up, you get much more in tune with what is the reason behind something. When you're unconscious, you're only focused on the outer. You're only focused on the behavior. So an unconscious person is always about the behavior. A conscious person is always about the purpose. Okay. Yeah, that's just the course. Thank you, God. Encouragement encourages me. It's an amazing thing. Thank you.
I was just going to say,
thank you. Thank you.
About extending.
Mm-hmm.
Because I keep extending you out in the world, and it's mm-hmm. pissing me off.
Why?
Well, my daughter's saying it to her grade school kids, because he's always saying, if I have trouble accepting other spiritual paths, which I have in the past, he'll say, you know, we're not going to all leave Denver on I-25. I've got everybody at the finance center and the federal government saying it. I'm sick of you. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing that I just love. And the other thing was I used to be so attached to, of course, people liking me, like we all are, that I really had it bad. And when my friend of 35 years just went, and you're always saying, write him a thank you note.
Yeah.
So, after all these years, I'm picking this stuff up, but I'm extending it out into the world.
Uh-huh.
That's the big one. You know, it does. I'm just kidding. Because I'm in a nice way trying to say how much I appreciate his teaching.
Yeah. No matter how you act, I love you.
There you
so
go.
I appreciate that.
You
know what I'm saying? If I had a doubt about your love, then I'd be wondering about your behavior. But since I don't have any doubt about it, you can behave in the way you want to.
So, you can't, in the face of unconscious people, it's just better to do the smile and nod syndrome?
You would go through life a lot easier and faster. Have you noticed that God is quiet?
Yeah.
Has anybody noticed that?
He doesn't speak English.
Whatever it is quiet. So maybe that's a hint to us. You know, and in my experience, that's what I've noticed, is that if I think the truth and be quiet, I just had a situation happen just a couple of days ago. that had to do with what I thought was a grievance that I wanted to be healed. But I had to admit to myself about the grievance I was feeling, and then I had to be willing to let go of the person or the situation until I could proceed correctly. But I had to release it. And as soon as I did that sincerely, then I got a phone call from the person. Not only that, they didn't, we communicated, and it was like whatever it was that was supposed to be the separation, they didn't even bring it up. We just went straight to the love. I cannot tell you how many situations in my life have been healed by me actually not dealing with the person, but dealing with what I know to be the truth about the person. And when you tell people that, it just sounds like some abstract concept at first. And I understand that, because all of this does until you use it. If you philosophize, analyze it, just discuss the concepts and play with ideas, you'll never see the power of what you're studying. And that's what most people call spiritual study. But they don't realize the true spiritual study is remembering that if you're suffering right now, it's because of a lack of love. Spiritual study is recognizing that what you are experiencing right now, your own ideas, feelings, and beliefs. Spiritual studies, you remembering that when you were a fearful person, they're just trying to get with you so they can get something because they think they don't have enough love, so the love is going to be a bargain, and they are afraid, and since they're afraid, they might separate from you at any time, so there will not be any consistency in this relationship. That's what you can tell just by saying, boy, I think you are really attractive, and they go, okay, that's all you need to know. You know that this person doesn't love themselves yet, because the person who loves themselves, they always agree with you. Or you add a little bit more positive to it. They disagree with you. And sometimes it shocks me because I've been running up on more and more people like that where I'll say something really cool about them. Or, oh, you really look beautiful. And they say, yeah, don't I? I look great, don't I? And it's totally not coming from vanity. It's just that's the way they are. So immediately I know, okay, I can get close to him. I can get close to her because when I love them, they don't think they deserve it. So therefore they won't be trying to get anything because they don't think anything's missing. I don't think anything is missing either. So we'll just be sharing our overflowing love. You can make that kind of discernment in 30 seconds. Unless their butt is just so good you can't resist it. Sometimes it happens. You'll be like trying to be sane and all of a sudden you see that special body part or that special car or that special, and all of a sudden you go, well, truth lasts for an eternity. We'll get around to it later. Right now, I gotta have it. We'll study some course next week, but right now, this has got to happen. This has got to come down. But the truth is, but you be honest with yourself. When you wake up, you're honest with yourself. You go, I know I'm making a mistake, and I am going to make it. That's what you say to yourself. This is a mistake, but I want to make it, and I'm going to assume responsibility for all the consequences of what I am about to do. Then you can enjoy. I'm just giving you very practical tips for 28 years of teaching this stuff. I'm telling you, I can save you some time. I can save you some time. I really can. Yeah. Yeah, somebody just had a question. Does that make sense? If you're going to act from opposite to what you know to be true, the safest way to do it is to take full responsibility for the result. If you want to negate the possibility of a negative outcome, even when you think you're doing something you shouldn't do, take full responsibility for the consequences at the very beginning. That'll give you the safest mistake you can have. You want the safest mistake. If you're going to make a mistake, you want it to be the best, safest one you can make, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well then you know it's not right for you because you're afraid from the very beginning. Okay? You just met this person and they believe that they're a victim of everything, which means they don't believe that thought is created and that they're creating a reality. You heard that in their very conversation with me from something that don't go right, they're going to blame you. But at the very beginning, you think you're so special that you think it don't apply to you. So when they're telling you about somebody else, you think they could never do it to you because you're special. And that's the error you make. That's the error you make. They're already letting you know how they deal with people who disappoint them. They're already letting you know. But for some reason, you're just so attracted. They're so cute. They're so sweet. They look so good. You learn how to dance. They can do salsa. You know, whatever it is you care of yourself that makes you go for it, then you go, I know this is true, and I'm going to assume total responsibility for getting in a relationship with this person. That's what you do. And then you go ahead and ask them out. No sin, because there's no sin. You know what I mean? It's not like you're going to be punished for making a mistake. Unless you believe you deserve to be punished for making that mistake. And then if you believe you deserve to be punished, then you'll do something to hurt yourself. It's deep, man. This is so powerful. This is so true. So if you keep studying, you won't have any excuses. So you might want to consider whether or not you want to consider your past. Still do your past. So the more you study the truth, the more you got to take responsibility. I'm sorry, but when you bliss is ignorant kind of thing, that tends to be true sometimes. Even though some pain come with it, you know it always comes sooner or later. But sometimes it looks like bliss is okay and ignorance go together. All right, I'm going to see if I can do a little bit more before we go out into the world. I love it. He said, I love also, he says, we love another in order to get something ourselves. That in fact is what passes for love in the dream world. The course calls this a dream world, which I think is interesting. He says, there can be no greater mistake than that. Than what? Loving somebody for something you can just get for yourself. He said, because love is incapable of asking. When I heard statements like, if somebody loves you, is incapable of asking for anything, when I'm always asking for something from the people I love, then I don't like that. I don't know about you, but I tend to ask for things from people I think I love. But then the truth is, I haven't gotten in touch with that love that's really me yet. So I'm also operating from the scarcity principle. Okay, so if I'm operating from the scarcity principle, which means I'm basically still at the level that I think I do want to get. I'm going to be honest with myself. I do have some things I like to absolutely have out of my relationships that I need to get. Okay, how do I deal with that? Well, while I'm learning to go beyond my get, but I'm learning how to love myself so much that I don't have to get, then I'm going to give what I want. That's how you work. That's right. That's how you work it. You go, if I want to get, then I'm going to give. I'm going to give what I want to get. I'm going to keep the agreement. I'm going to keep the bargain. Whatever it is that me and you said we need to give to each other in order for us to love each other, then what we're going to do, let's just give it to each other. That's how you do it when you don't know how to love completely yet. You just keep your agreements, keep your agreements, keep your agreements, keep your agreements. If you make the agreement that you all are going to be monogamous, keep it. Agreement. Keep the agreement. Keep the agreement or renegotiate. Whatever the agreement is, just keep it and you'll have peace in your relationships. The reason why people don't have peace in their relationships is, number one, they don't believe that they're completely loved, so they're trying to get something to begin with. Then, not only trying to get something, but then they won't even keep the agreements that they make with the person they're trying to get from. So if you want to make it easier until you learn how to love, you just form relationships with people who you can keep your agreements with. So you wouldn't be asking me to do anything in the relationship that I would think would be a sacrifice for me to do, and vice versa. That way, whatever agreements we have, neither one of us, a person that wants you to be faithful in terms of monogamy, for instance, and I could use that because that's such a big idol in our world, then if that person, if that man wanted that just like you wanted it, you wouldn't be dealing with a man that would cheat on you. Because there are men who want it just like there are women who want it. If that's what you really want. But no, we don't do that. I fall for the guy that's the head of the Polyamory Association. I fall for Hugh Hefner's nephew. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm going to go for the person who what? Is not going to give me what I want. Why? Because I believe in scarcity and I have a lack of love. So since I don't love myself, why in the world would I give somebody who really loved me? That's why everything comes back to that lack of love thing. Everything comes back to recognizing that you're telling yourself a lie. If you think you're not enough, you're telling yourself a lie. If you think you're not loved, you're telling yourself a lie. If you think you're not powerful, you're telling yourself a lie. If you think that you have to be alone, you're telling yourself a lie. If you think you can't have a world that you love, it's the lie that we got to get past. And the lie is called the ego. And when you get past that lie, you will see that all the stuff you're seeking is something that you already have anyway, but you just don't see it because you're too busy looking at the scarcity and the lack. So you won't spend all your time trying to get what's missing. You would spend all your time trying to remember that nothing's missing. Most of you are trying to get what's missing. They're not trying to spend their time remembering there is nothing missing. And when I tell you there's nothing missing, it doesn't really get people off because they believe something is missing. And so I'm here to tell you there's nothing missing in your life. There's nothing missing in you. There's nothing missing in you. There's nothing broken in you. There's nothing that needs to be fixed in you. The only thing that needs to be corrected is our perception. And our perception is based on our learning. And all we have to do is give ourselves a new learning. If you give yourself a new learning, like the Course, for instance, then that will give you a new perception. And then you'll see this new world that I'm talking about. That's it. That's it.
Thanks, Spirit. That wasn't me. That was just smart.
I appreciate appreciation. I always know who want to receive it by who gives it. That's how you can always tell. That's how you can always tell. It's all a matter of motivation in me. It's all a matter, this is the Course say, everything's a matter of motivation. See, there's certain things that people do when they begin to get the truth. That's why you don't ever have to worry about being fooled anymore than once you begin to wake up. Because there is just the way a person behaves when they are getting the truth. And you just look for that behavior. First of all, if giving and receiving is the same, and what I give to you I'll have more of, then it would make sense that I would go, why? Because I know I'm giving it to myself. I know it and giving it to myself, I'll receive it in the form of abundance in my life. So you actually be glad to do it. But if I'm analyzing it, I may not do anything. So I'm not judging you whether or not you thought it for me or not. I'm just saying, every moment of every day, you're getting another opportunity to give what you want to receive. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Because that's the only way you'll receive it. That's the only way you'll receive it, is at some point you start giving it. And the Course says, give it to yourself. Give it to yourself. And then some people say, oh, I can't even say I appreciate myself. Okay, can you say you appreciate somebody else? Yes. Well, then start saying you appreciate somebody else because they are yourself. But at least two or three times a day, say I appreciate something. Not because you're going to be punished if you don't, but because you're denying yourself your own wealth. That's all. Because that's how the law works. It's just a law. It's not personal. It's just a law. You know, that's deep, man. And that's what I want for you all. That's what I want for you all. I want abundance. I want peace. I want happiness for you. I want freedom for you. I want safety for you. I want health for you. And I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy your life. That's what I like for you. So thank you for sharing with me financially. That helps on many levels. Many, many levels. Tomorrow, it seems like I'll be a more loving person.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Okay.
Sometimes if you're more loving than people are ready to be themselves, then they become frightened at your expression of yourself. And that's, you know what I mean? And so sometimes I can't contain my joy. And I know that can be frightening sometimes to people, you know, especially if they think they're not very happy, or if they told themselves they're quiet, or if they told themselves they're shy or bashful or whatever. Then when they see the opposite of what they told themselves they are, then it's frightening to them. It's like a really extroverted person actually becomes scared in a room full of quiet people. People forget it goes both ways, you know. So you're safe. That's my first and foremost priority in my classes, is for people to know that they're safe. You're safe because you don't have to believe any of it. You're safe because I'm not trying to convert you, because I realize that my recognition of the truth just has to do with me accepting it. So there's no need to try to get your cooperation for me to be saved, or vice versa. So that's cool. That's cool. But what you do is you give me an opportunity to remember. And you give me an opportunity to remind you of the truth about yourself that you might forget from time to time while you're worried about something or upset about something. Because I don't see your illusion until you tell me. Like the thing that you're upset about, I don't have any idea what it is. That's how you know it's your own illusion, because nobody else knows about it until you tell them. That's how you know it's not real. Nobody else knows about it until you tell them. That's how you know it's your own fantasy that's upsetting you. So whatever you're worrying yourself about right now, I don't know nothing about it. So I can see you as deserving of healing even while you're caught up in your dream. And that's what a Savior does. A Savior sees you beyond where you see yourself. That's what the Course calls a Savior. They don't rescue you. They just remember the truth for you and let the truth do its thing.
So good.
Yeah, the truth can heal every problem you think you have if you can, if you just let it in. So you are going to be healed behind your back. Okay? You're going to be healed behind your back.
That's good.
That means your healing has nothing to do with you anymore. Spirit loves us so much, Spirit is going to overlook us now. So all of your thoughts about why you don't deserve to have what you want, nobody's paying attention to it anymore. It's be your own little personal little trip. But you're going to get tired of carrying around because nobody helping you. It's going to be great to watch it. It's going to be so much fun watching y'all. You're convinced you can never have the love of your life, then you're there. You have to deal with that. And so what you want is going to show up. Yeah, then you see how much you really want it. I had to admit to myself, some things that weren't in my life, I just didn't want them there. And I was telling myself I wanted them, but I was being denied. I really want it, but it's not showing up. And they said, no, Earl, you want to be powerful? Tell yourself, I want it not. I don't want it. It's not there because I don't want it. It's not there because I don't really want it. I think I want it, but I don't really want it. I think I want it, but I don't. How do I know I don't really want it? Because it's not here. Oh, is that how I know? Yes. If you're a child of God and you really want something completely, it will have to show up in your life immediately. That's the way power works. So if it's not there, some part of you is afraid of having it and doesn't really want to have it. That's why it's really not there. That's the real reason why it's not there. I know you think it's the economy. I know you think it's the presidential candidates. I know you think it's all that stuff out there. I know you do. I know you think it's the tomatoes that they're recalling. I know you do. I know you do. But the truth is, it's not there because I don't want it to be there, and it is here because I want it to be here. That's what you start doing when you want
to
claim your power. That's why the believing it is not necessary. That's why the Course says you do not have to believe the ideas, because if you believe you have to believe it, you won't say it. And your saying it is symbolic of your willingness to be healed. It's not that you're saying it heals you. It's symbolic that you're willing to be healed. And that's all the universe needs, since everything is based on free will. You need to decide when you want to be healed. The Course says free will just means you decide when it's going to happen. That's all free will means. I have the free will to decide when my happiness is going to happen. That's deep, man. That's all the free will you got. When do you want it? That's what you got. That's the choice that's up to us. When do you want it? When do you want it? When do you want it? You can have it anytime you want it. How do I know I can have it anytime I want it? Because you'll do the thing that signifies that you want it. What is the thing that I do that signifies that I want it? You start taking responsibility for the way you see things. Even if you don't like it. 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 Because if you do it like that, to the things you don't like, after a while, the things that you don't like will start to fade away. In the beginning, it's hard, because you'll be saying it about things that you feel victim of or things that you don't like. But if you keep on saying, I'm responsible for the way that I see it, I'm responsible for the way that I see it. Did you hear what I said? I'm responsible for the way that I see it. Then you will be free from it. And that's what I want you to be, is free. Ho! See y'all next time. Got to put it out. Let's put it out for us. Appreciate us. Let's do it for us. All right. Woo. I should get hugs are available.